U.S. officials say Russia orchestrated a murder in Berlin last month.
It would be rather unprecedented in recent time for Russia to murder someone on the streets of Berlin in such a sort of obvious way.
Plus, continued fallout after President Trump ousts his national security advisor, John Bolton.
The president's entitled to the staff that he wants.
And Republican Dan Bishop wins a race for a closely watched congressional seat in North Carolina. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at what U.S. officials believe was a Russian-orchestrated killing in Berlin last month, here's what you missed. There's been more fallout from President Trump's decision to fire his national security advisor, John Bolton, yesterday. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo defended the move.
The president's entitled to the staff that he wants at any moment. This is a staff person who works directly for the president of the United States, and he should have people that he trusts and values.
But here's how far apart Mr. Bolton and President Trump are. The two couldn't even agree on how the ouster happened. It's indicative of just how differently they've approached U.S. foreign policy.
John Bolton and Donald Trump disagreed on a lot of foreign policy issues, and in a way it's surprising that the alignment lasted for the nearly year and a half that it did.
Gerald Seib is our executive Washington editor. He says the biggest disagreement between President Trump and Mr. Bolton was Afghanistan.
President Trump wants to do a deal with the Taliban and start getting American troops entirely out of Afghanistan. John Bolton doesn't really want to do a deal with the Taliban and thinks there should be a long-term American presence in Afghanistan. That disagreement may have been the most immediate cause for his departure.
So what's the takeaway from all of this? Here's Gerald again.
John Bolton represents the traditional Republican neoconservative thinking, which is in favor of intervention abroad and is comfortable with military action. President Trump has tried to bring into the Republican Party a new view, one that's less eager to get involved in foreign wars abroad and is not so interventionist overseas. This is a split within the Republican Party. We've just seen it play out at the White House.
Later in the show, we'll talk about the impact that Mr. Bolton's departure is having on oil prices. But first, a few more headlines. Republican Dan Bishop won a do-over vote for a congressional seat in North Carolina's 9th District late last night, beating Democrat Dan McGretty.
Tonight was the first step toward taking back the House of Representatives in 2020 to keep this country on a path of prosperity and strength. Because under this president, America is great again.
The vote was seen as a test of how suburban voters view President Trump ahead of the 2020 election. The president took credit for the win, writing in a tweet, quote, Dan Bishop was down 17 points 3 weeks ago. He then asked me for help. We changed his strategy together, and he ran a great race. And an exclusive from us this morning, Chinese insurance group Anbang has agreed to sell its luxury hotel portfolio for more than $5.8 billion. They're selling it to a South Korean financial services company. It's a deal that had been set to be finalized last month. But then Anbang discovered that a person in California had secretly created a series of fake deeds to transfer ownership for up to a half dozen of the hotels. We couldn't confirm the identity of that person, and both Anbang and the South Korean firm Mirae declined to comment. But it turns out that fraudulent deed transfers in which homes may be transferred without the knowledge of the seller are actually common. Now, our main story this morning. We've got an exclusive report that has to do with something that sounds like it's straight out of a spy movie. We're reporting that U.S. officials now believe that Russia was behind a murder that happened in broad daylight in Germany last month. Boyan Panchevsky is in Berlin, where the killing happened. So, Boyan, walk me through what we're reporting here.
Well, basically, what seems to have happened is a man was executed in broad daylight in central Berlin in a park full of people. And it is believed by investigators that the killer was a Russian citizen who had been given a real passport with a fake identity by the authorities of Russia in order to be able to perform this murder. The man who was killed is a former Chechen rebel commander. It's not clear who commissioned the murder, but it would appear that it's a similar setup like a number of other killings we have seen in the West and elsewhere that were basically executed by Russia or helped by Russian security services.
And you write the one reason the killing is interesting is that it indicates that Moscow is ramping up an assassination campaign against its perceived enemies abroad. Can you explain?
Well, because there have been a number of similar incidents in the recent past. I mean, some of them are not that high profile. You know, I think there were three in Turkey, there was one in Ukraine, and then there was the really big one in England, which attracted enormous amount of media attention. Also because of the method that was used. Obviously, they used this military nerve agent. So basically, Russia has got form, and even in 2006, it needs to be said, the Russian government has made it legal to execute sort of enemies of the state, their own citizens who flee abroad. So essentially, they have good form in doing these things, in bumping off Russian citizens abroad. And if this were to be another case like that, then it would inevitably lead to a tension between Europe and Russia, and especially between Germany and Russia. And for now, it would appear that the Germans don't want to create that tension, so they've been keeping a lid on the whole investigation, and they've been trying not to leak any details of this. So I think our report will probably put some pressure on German authorities to release more information about what actually had happened.
So Russia's denied involvement, German officials are staying mum, and meanwhile the U.S. is saying that Russia's definitely behind it all. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think obviously Russia always denies these things, and that's to be expected. But what is important here in this case is that the suspected killer, was arrested, and he is in custody in Berlin. So the investigation is ongoing. And therefore, inevitably, evidence will come to light as to who commissioned him to execute the victim and why that happened and how it happened. So the details will inevitably, come to light. So even though the Germans have been very discreet, I think they will have little choice but release new information about the investigation. And eventually there will be a trial, obviously, as well. And inevitably, during a trial, things come to light. And I think, essentially, we'll hear much more about this case, because it would be rather unprecedented in recent time for Russia to murder someone on the streets of Berlin in such a sort of obvious way. So I think this has a potential to develop in a sort of an international scandal.
You can read our full report on the case up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Breaking this morning, Hong Kong's stock exchange has made a bid to buy London's stock exchange. The price, $36.6 billion. Shares in the LSE rose over 12% on the news. But that's not the only market headline this morning. Oil prices are also falling in the wake of John Bolton's departure. Why? Columnist Mike Bird explains.
So it's one thing when a CEO resigns and their stock market value of their company falls. That's pretty brutal. But it's a whole other thing when the oil price falls based on one policymaker going. That policymaker in this case is John Bolton, National Security Advisor to the President. And the main reason it fell is that Mr. Bolton is very much seen as a foreign policy hawk. He's in favor of stronger sanctions against countries like Iran and Venezuela. He's certainly against reaching any sort of deals with those countries to lift existing sanctions on their oil. And I think people perceive that his departure means that a lifting of those sanctions, a relaxation of those sanctions, or even just no further sanctions being put in place is more likely. It was enough to take a dollar off oil prices immediately after the announcement was made.
And now, here's what else we're paying attention to today. Late yesterday, California's Senate passed the bill we discussed on Tuesday's show. It's the one that would classify drivers for Lyft and Uber as employees. It now heads to the assembly floor today. The bill's passage comes as Uber announced that it would lay off 400 employees. Heather Somerville has more.
The reason that Uber CEO gave for the cuts of 435 technical employees is that effectively the company had gotten too big, too bloated. It has more than 27,000 full-time employees across the world. And a lot of this is the result of a lot of years of hyper growth, of moving very quickly and hiring as many people as possible when they were still a private company. The reality is as well that Uber faces tremendous market pressures to start to stem losses, show profitability. And also there is writing on the wall of further economic pressures from California legislation, which is expected to pass, that would compel Uber to classify its drivers as employees, which of course will be much more costly to the company.
A giant bet against natural gas is blowing up. What do I mean? Well, back in August, hedge funds and other money managers bet that the price of natural gas would fall. Instead, it's risen by 25%. So why make the bet in the first place? Well, betting on the price of natural gas involves predicting the weather. Investors are essentially betting when we'll turn off our air conditioning. And that bet can sometimes be wildly lucrative if you get it right. But if you get it wrong, as it's looking like this time around, it can be devastating. Finally, here's some good news for you. 1/5 of board seats held by companies on the Russell 3000 Index, which includes most public companies on U.S. exchanges, are now held by women. That's 1/5 of board seats. It's a 5% increase since late 2016 when the firm Equilar began tracking representation. One reason for the increase? A California law which says that any publicly traded company with its headquarters in the state needs to have at least one female board member by the end of this year or face fines. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.